You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And now your host, Eric Dye.
Thanks for tuning into the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN. This is Eric Dye. The Green Business Podcast is your EPN channel for better informing you how to green your business, hear how others have made their business green, startups in the greening industry, and bringing awareness to a green economy and the advantages it brings to your community as a whole. Today, we are speaking with Jeremy Jones, West Coast Program Manager of Paint Care, a nonprofit stewardship organization which runs recycling programs in states as they pass paint stewardship laws. Through Paint Care, the paint industry sets up drop-off locations for unused paint, arranges for recycling and proper disposal of the paint, and conducts outreach about proper paint management. Jeremy, certainly looking forward to our interview, and welcome to the Green Business Podcast Show.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. I really appreciate having me on today.
Hey, you're more than welcome. So I understand that Paint Care, like we've mentioned, is a nonprofit paint stewardship program that was created to offer a convenient way for consumers to properly discard and recycle paint. And there are now 8 participating states, and I'll name a couple of those: California, Colorado, Connecticut, Maine, Minnesota, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Can you offer our listeners more details about how and when Paint Care originated and kind of touch on the highlights there?
Yeah, no problem. We're actually still a pretty young program. But we've been in the works for a long time. So about a decade ago, sometime in the early 2000s, local governments approached the paint industry to talk about how to deal with the problem of waste paint. And over that course of that dialogue, it resulted in a law that was passed back in 2009 to pilot a program in the state of Oregon. And so since 2009, when the law passed in Oregon, it passed in several other states, the states that you just named. And the whole point of this was to try to take a problem that had been traditionally the burden of government programs and some of their limited funding challenges, and try to make it more convenient for people to get rid of waste paint. It's a prevalent item in society. It's all over the place. In every nook and cranny, everybody has a little. But there just weren't that many places, as many as were desirable, to have people actually take the paint when they were done with it.
Jeremy, as the West Coast Program Manager, what is your role in the organization?
Well, it's actually a fairly new role in the organization, but as the organization has grown, it's definitely become more important to have some high-level coordination both between state programs and between coordinators. We have 5 field staff in California, and we have a program manager here in Oregon, and I oversee those folks on the ground just to make sure that they are being efficient when they're in the field. You know, we have, between those two states, we have pretty close to 1,000 locations to look after. So to keep them focused and active and engaged in the field, I'm helping to work with a lot of the state organizations and stakeholders, the regulatory agencies, to try to make the program run on all cylinders while they're taking care of the actual field location.
If you would, tell us, how do consumers get involved, and how do the drop-off sites participate in the program, and what happens to the paint once it's dropped off at a particular location?
Well, if you do live in one of those paint care states that you mentioned at the outset, the best thing to do, I would say, is to go visit paintcare.org, to try to get a feel for where your closest drop-off site would be. We often hold one-day drop-off events or collection events in certain targeted areas, so you may want to try and find out if there's one happening near you, or keep a monitor on that website to see if one is being planned where you live. In terms of the drop-off sites, I should say also for the consumers, they can also find out what products we do take and do not take, because there's some things that fall outside of the realm of the program. And that's a good way so that you can be prepared when you actually go in to bring your paint to the store. In terms of drop-off sites, it's all voluntary. It's completely up to a drop-off site if they want to participate. It offers a huge benefit for the store in terms of getting people in the door and getting some foot traffic. But basically, they could also, if someone is interested, if they run a paint business or a hardware store, independent hardware stores are also very good candidates. A paint retailer of any kind, they can visit our website, paintcare.org, and look for information on how to become a drop-off site on that website. And then what happens to the paint where it's dropped off? When it's dropped off at the stores or their local government location, facility, the material actually is consolidated once it leaves the site, and it's kind of separated into good and bad paint by latex paint recyclers. And if it's good, and a lot of it is, especially in the warmer climates on the West Coast, it is able to be turned into new paint. That which isn't, unfortunately some isn't, it's too old or somehow not quite right for making more paint with, then we have a process in place to help sure it doesn't end up in a landfill whenever possible, try to responsibly manage it according to, you know, best practices for the industry.
You certainly got the bases covered, and we certainly appreciate what you're doing in the space today. We are visiting with Jeremy Jones, West Coast Program Manager of Paint Care, a nonprofit stewardship organization which runs recycling programs in states as they pass paint stewardship laws, here on the Green Business Podcast Show, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network. Now, Jeremy, how does Paint Care cover its cost to operate in each state?
Well, it goes back to the law that each state passes in order to create this program. When a law passes in the state, it kind of lays out the ground rules for how the program is going to be funded and financed. So in order to pay for the program, the method that has been deemed sort of the most fair for everyone, whether it be the industry or the consumer, et cetera, is to have a small fee put on each container. So when you buy a container of paint in the program states, you'll see a very nominal fee attached to each gallon or quart or 5 gallon, and it's somewhat proportional. 75 cents for a gallon, 35 cents for a pint or quart, and for anything larger than a gallon, up to 5 gallons, you have $1.60 fee. So that fee is directed specifically to our nonprofit for the sole purpose of managing the paint. That's all that is done with it. It never touches a state agency or anything like that. It all goes to the good for recycling the paint, and we have to be very transparent too about how that is all spent. We have very good oversight to make sure that we're spending it in all the right places. And that basically is the sole funding source. So when you buy paint, you're helping to fund responsible management of the paint.
And why is it important for people to properly discard their old or unused paint, stain, and varnish? Touch on that, if you would. Some listeners probably, and there may be some that may have no idea.
Sure. Well, you know, some places in this country, it's pretty straightforward. It's illegal to take, you know, liquid substances such as paint and to put them out and offer them for disposal in the trash. And in some cases, that's not the case. But either way, it's not a great idea to be either wasteful or to put, you know, things that aren't solid waste in your trash. You know, the trash is for the trash, not necessarily for things that you could potentially recycle or could be harmful. So if you were to throw them away. So in the case of you've got a valuable resource with paint that can be turned into new paint, it's just the right thing to do. It's the essence of living a green lifestyle and not being wasteful with materials. In the case where it is potentially harmful to the environment, well, then that just makes common sense, you know, to not take something like, say, like a oil-based paint or something like that, which in many cases is actually considered to be hazardous waste, and to put that in the trash. That's definitely not the right thing to do. So all that aside, all the rules and regulations and ethics of it aside, we're just trying to make it easy for people to make the right decision about what to do. Everybody's got a basement full of something, or a garage that's got a few skeletons in the closet, so to speak, waiting to be disposed of. And we're just simply trying to make that decision as easy as possible, easy as your local hardware store or paint store.
Lastly, what are the future plans and goals of Pink here? You're certainly doing a great job and have done so much so far. What are the future plans there?
Well, you know, as our organization is getting a little bit more mature, we're hitting now, we're into the sixth, seventh year of since the pilot started in Oregon. We're starting to look around, learn some lessons, and get things ready for maybe some more states. I can imagine a few more states passing laws in the future, seeing the effectiveness and the practical nature of what we're doing for the states that are in the program. So I could see a few more states on the horizon. I can also see Paint Care getting a little bit more nuanced about how we try and target and get after paint. So we have some large volume pickup services that we've developed to basically enable contractors and other people with a lot of paint, 300 gallons or more, to have us come to them. It's more efficient than bringing it in into a store. We're also looking at doing a bit more on the side of having some events, some targeted events in certain areas where we know a lot of paint is, contracting, industrial areas where you have a lot of contractors. So just getting more invested and involved in the painting community and understanding how waste can happen, how we can minimize it, or how we can address it as we find it. That's kind of the basics. So just trying to keep the program more relevant and more expanded into the communities.
Well, Jeremy, one more time, I'm assuming it's paintcare.org. Is that where listeners should be in contact with you if they had any questions or if they wanted more information?
Absolutely. Paintcare.org is the way to go. It's a very well-designed, very informative website. You can find contact information for me or any of our staff and more about the program from there. And we also have a hotline if anybody wants to give us a call. 855-PAINT09, 855-PAINT09. That also could be helpful if you want to make a phone call. Lots of ways to get a hold of us.
Well, Jeremy, thank you for being with us here today. Continued success, and certainly look forward to a future conversation right here on the Green Business Podcast Show. Have a great evening.
Hey, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Jeremy Jones, West Coast Program Manager of Paint Care, a nonprofit stewardship organization which runs recycling programs in states as they pass paint stewardship laws. At Paint Care, their main effort is to set up more places for people to take unwanted leftover paint. And to get more information, simply visit paintcare.org. And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to the Green Business Podcast Show, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Green Business Podcast Show here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
In my opinion and my experience, a brand is much more than that, and something much deeper. And it's what's at the core of any business. And essentially, when you first decide that you're going to go into business, whether it's retail, whether it's B2B, whether it's anything, you have an idea, you have a concept. And the very idea of your business and its initial kind of genesis is usually what fuels the brand. That's really the DNA of the brand. And that has to do with what type of business you want to have, what's going to separate it from the rest, and what's going to make it valuable to customers or clients. And so you have that value, that importance is one element of it. The other one is the purpose, which actually might be the most important of the three. And the third one is the difference, the differentiation. What makes your business not only valuable and important, but what also makes it completely different and unique from your quote-unquote competition?
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.